This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Stressed out, unhealthy, exhausted. If that describes you on a good day, you might want to listen closely for the next 25 minutes to what our guest has to say. Dr. Judith Orloff invites us to let go, and she suggests 12 ways of doing that. They're all included in her new book entitled The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. I'm proud to have her on our show today. Dr. Orloff, welcome to HeartWise.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be on your show.
Now, you're assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at UCLA and the author of the New York Times bestseller Emotional Freedom, as well as other books. You've been on Dr. Oz, Today, PBS, CNN, NPR, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't sound like you've let go or surrendered to anything. Why should we listen to you, Dr. Orloff?
Well, it's interesting because surrender is letting go to your destiny. That's one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, letting go to the opportunities and the, you know, all the positive things that could come to you in your life. And I think what you just said was an example of me going with it rather than fighting it.
In other words, you let go to the fact that you have information that the world needs to hear, and you're going to use whatever possible means you can find to preach that message. Letting go doesn't mean doing nothing. Am I right?
Oh, no. Surrendering doesn't mean giving up. That's the old definition.
Uh-huh.
It means opening up and letting go to grace or letting go to a higher power to work in your life so you don't have to do it all alone with your willpower and your mind, and that you could combine putting all your efforts in to make something happen, but then also, you know, basically allowing spirit in your life, you know, to help you along. And that helps. That's the ultimate surrender.
Now, let's use our imaginations here, Dr. Orloff. There's a listener right now listening to the program, male or female, doesn't really matter. And this person has tried and tried and tried to get ahead in life, has tried to follow his or her dream, has tried everything. What are they doing wrong? What have you found in your research that these type of people who have tried everything are doing wrong? What's going on?
Yeah, well, a big point I make in the book is that you can try too hard. And when you try too hard or even try and force things, that sabotages your goal. So it's a fine balance of listening to your intuition of when to move forward and then when perhaps to wait or move back or regroup or say maybe not now, because the universe can say three things. It can say yes to your request. It can say not now, maybe later. Or the third one is, I love you too much, I'm not giving you this. So it's all about compassion and trying to tune into your intuition. It's what I talk about in the book, is tuning into that still, small inner voice inside that will tell you the truth about things. And that is the source of wisdom. And so if you could get still, be still, and listen to that on a regular basis, which is what I suggest, In each chapter of the book, whether you're talking about success or relationships or if you're going through a challenging time or illness, to get very still and listen to your intuition so that you know what to surrender to and you get a sense of proper timing in your life rather than just pushing through like a bull in a china shop and just, I want what I want, what I want it, and that's it. I mean, that's not going to get what you want. And then if you find you're pushing or exerting too much effort, to just take a breath and tune into a larger force to help you. Because that people don't realize it, but forcing things only deters your goals. It contracts energy.
There's got to be a fine line here between not forcing and being lazy. I mean, I'm going to talk frankly here. Some people have been at the other end of this spectrum. They're saying, well, I'm just going to wait for life to come to me. I'm going to sit here in my chair with my can of pop and watching television, and I'm going to wait till opportunity literally knocks on my door. So I think you're finding someplace in between those two extremes. Am I right?
Yeah, it's a balance. Surrender isn't about just being passive and letting life happen to you. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
it's about being a finely tuned instrument, knowing, listening to yourself, knowing yourself well enough, you could sense the flow of things. It's like nature, getting in touch with nature, the flow of water. It's the water doesn't keep going against the same boulder over and over again. The water learns to flow around things rather than being a tight fist and getting rigid. To begin to get flexible in your life. And if something isn't happening, let's say you try and try and try, perhaps it is a good thing to back off just a little bit and give it some breathing room and tune in to what the obstacles are and, really begin to work with it rather than what most of my patients do or, a lot of people do. They just keep pushing.
That's
what I'm saying doesn't necessarily work. You want to push. You want to, go for it with everything, but you also want to know when you're over pushing.
All right.
That's where surrender comes in.
I have a feeling that some people are shaking their head and saying, well, yeah, I can understand that. I can understand where you're going, especially us type A people who are saying, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to do it my way. All right. Number one item here in the 12 surprising ways letting go can empower your life. You're saying the first surrender is redefining true success, power, and happiness. Apparently, you have discovered in your patients that they are defining success differently than they should. How do we define it, and how should we define it?
Well, I think the old version is success is somebody who could be very greedy and accumulating a lot of money and having external power, but not really focusing on their heart and not really, looking at money or success as a vehicle, to express love and higher good. Which is what I'm saying in the book, is that to define yourself by your bank account or define yourself by your external trappings is false, because that's not who you are. Mm-hmm. Who you are is basically your spirit. And what you're here for is to develop your heart and to develop your spirit, and you do that in the realms of success and power also. Mm-hmm. No, power isn't destroying the earth and being greedy and hoarding. I mean, that's such an uncool version of power. That's a backward, 80s version. But I think now more and more people are trying to be heart-centered. My redefinition of it is being heart-centered and using money for the good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with accumulating money and using it for, the comfort and the good it can create, but not to identify that as who you are. It isn't, because the way I'm talking about surrender in the book is that it can be applied to everything here on earth and everything we do. But there also comes a time in the last chapter of the book where we will have to have the final surrender, which is letting go of the physical body and going on.
Yes.
And nobody can escape that.
All right.
And when you develop yourself in the meantime, you're a good person, you develop your heart in the realms of money and success included, then you bring that with you wherever you go, your soul development. And that's what I'm interested in as a psychiatrist and somebody who combines intuition and spirituality in the psychotherapeutic work.
It sounds like you're saying, and this is of course biblical, it sounds like you're saying that we need to be true to ourselves first. We need to look at our heart-centered. What do we say inside? Not what are we doing outside? Not what are people telling us, but what are we saying inside? Am I on the right track there?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is the starting point of surrender, is surrendering to your own heart and believing in yourself and believing, if you can, in a force greater than yourself. You divine it in a spirit or God, the heart, love, whatever you want to call it. But knowing that you co-partner with that in your life and that anything you do, it's about that. When I see patients, it's not just me and the patient. It's me, the patient, and spirit. Always. So that kind of takes the pressure off of you, because there's another, incredibly loving, compassionate force that's just right there with you, or you can call it angels, whatever you want, that are there, I believe, for everybody. But people can't surrender to that. Or really know that, because they're so in their heads all the time. Mm-hmm. And they're just in the ego in their heads. But if you can get beyond that a little bit and, sense there's something more, then your life takes on a different cast. Mm-hmm. It looks different. Now you go into work and you see your coworkers a bit differently. How can I be my best self with them? I mean, people are challenging. I have a chapter on energy vampires, people who suck you dry and how to deal with them. You know, all that. I'm not saying life isn't challenging, but your philosophy of how you approach things is what I want to define in this book, is that you don't want to be fighting life. You want to be trusting it a little bit more. And if it's not going your way, then just take a little step backward, tune into your intuition, and find out why, and perhaps develop a bit of a different plan.
This is interesting because, Dr. Orloff, when we consider what is causing us to be depressed or sad or angered, we look externally at things. We look, that's what's causing me to be sad. That's what's causing me to be angry. But you're saying that we need to start looking inside to find out why we are letting that cause us to be angry, why we are letting that causing us to be sad. So it actually happens. The action really is in the heart.
Oh, yes. That is the premise of this book. Mm-hmm. Everything begins with the heart. And if you have questions about life, if you feel lost, if you feel upset, always the answer is go towards the heart, you know, if ever you're confused. And that's what you want to surrender to. And I mean surrender. I'm talking about in this book a devotion to the heart and living by the heart. Of course, you can be your lower self, or you could go along with, you know, the way society deals with money, success, relationships, hoarding, greediness, all of that. You can go that route if you want, but I don't think it will make you very happy. You know, that's not the answer. The answer, heart-centered people have the answer. Mm-hmm. And whether you have a lot of external wealth or not, you have an incredible gift. But, you know, I want to say, if you start with being heart-centered and loving, and you go out and, you know, you just kind of go into the world and are a huge success externally, then you bring your heart into it. And only good things can happen with that. The problem is in the world when people go about and find external success but lack that heart focus. Then they could do great damage in the world.
I think we see these people mentioned in the news quite often. Absolutely.
Well, it's all over. It's all over. But that's what why I wanted to write this book, was to say there's a different way to be. It's not necessarily how most of society operates. But as a psychiatrist and as just as a person, the way I want to live my life, you know, this is what is truly meaningful to me. And I wanted to share it with readers.
Mm. We're talking with Dr. Judith Orloff about her book, The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life, and we're talking about some of those ways. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, Dr. Orloff, I want to talk about the fifth surrender here. I caught my eye, cultivating impeccable communications. Apparently, we are not communicating as we should, and there's a ways for us to communicate better, which would enhance not only the lives of other people, but enhance our own as well. So everybody stay right where you are.
This is Kim, with my daily diary for health class, reporting what I did today to keep myself healthy. Today I ate an apple. Yes, yes, I know. Eating an apple each day doesn't make you healthy. But when I ate that apple, I didn't eat something that would make me unhealthy. I didn't eat candy. I didn't eat something with a lot of fat in it, like a piece of meat, or foods made with a bunch of butter or oil. I didn't eat refined foods, like white rice or white flour, that don't have anything healing in them. So eating an apple is only part of the picture. What I didn't eat is just as important. I also ate a lot of fruits and vegetables. These foods have a ton of healing stuff in them, like vitamins, nutrients, and complex carbohydrates. I learned in class that complex carbohydrates, which are found in whole plant foods, are a lot healthier than simple carbohydrates, like those found in refined foods. So I eat mostly whole foods, like fruits and vegetables, not refined foods that come in cans or packages. How does this make me healthy? Well, many of my friends are kind of fat. Okay, they're very fat. Fat isn't healthy. But because I eat mostly whole foods, I'm not fat. Because I'm not giving my body anything to turn into fat, like all those calories or fatty foods. My body has the foods it needs to stay healthy and nothing more. So, when you see me eating an apple, don't just say, "Hey, Kim is eating an apple." Instead say, "Hey, look, Kim isn't eating sugary candies or foods with a lot of fat in them." See what I mean?
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Judith Orloff. She is a clinical professor of psychiatry at UCLA and the author of several wonderful best-selling books. She's been on a lot of television programs and radio programs, and I'm glad she's on this one today. We're talking about those 12 surprising ways letting go can empower your life. And Dr. Orloff, I noticed that there is a website that you are running there. It's www.drjudithorloff.com. You talk about this on your website as well as in your book, and that is that we need to cultivate a better way of communicating. What are we doing wrong, and how do we do it right?
Well, what we're doing wrong is that we don't have a surrendered approach to communicating, and what we're doing right is when we can, you know, really change our communication skills so we are more heart-centered and listen to the other person. And we need to let go of patterns of communication that are not working. For instance, people get so fixated on the need to be right. And I've seen this really hurt relationships and get in the way of really loving communication, where they feel like, well, I'm right and the other person is wrong, so I'm going to dig in my heels and just not give in. And that's where divorces happen. That's where arguments never end. And so what I'm saying is that one thing to surrender is the need to be right. Because sometimes if you just see a little grain of truth in what the other person is saying, maybe you don't agree with the bulk of it, but maybe there's a little bit. And you can say, you know, you really have a point in that what you're saying, and I'm going to consider it. And when you say that, that validates the other person and it softens them so you can have more of a dialogue, as opposed to the unsurrendered approach, which is two people digging their heels in and not giving in because they're both right.
That's an interesting point, because communication, we think, is me talking to you. But actually, the better, more powerful part of communication is me listening to you. Am I on the right track?
Oh, listening is such an important part of surrendered communication. A lot of times, people just talk. And you can't really make a connection with them if they're just talking. So wherever you are, let's say you're at a party or a conference or somewhere, you know, it's always about listening and surrendering to the conversation and then listening to the other person. As a psychiatrist, that's what I do, is I listen.
Sure.
And it's deep listening. You know, it's really being 100% with a person and listening to them mind, body, spirit. And that's a great gift you give to someone when you actually listen to them rather than just think about yourself. A lot of people, you know, as I talk about in the book, are narcissists, where it's just me, me, me.
Yes.
And they don't really have a lot of empathy for other people. So they don't care what you're feeling. They just want to talk about themselves. And, you know, I'm not interested in that at all in terms of my life. It's not, you know, anything that I would be after in a relationship, a friendship, because they don't have anything to give. But a surrendered approach to communication is, you know, enjoying other people, really, and listening to what they have to say. You might agree with it, you might disagree with it, but if you hold a space for them and you listen to them, it's a great gift.
It reminds me of a quote, one of my favorite quotes from Larry King. He interviews people, of course. We know who that person is. He said, "I never learned anything new while talking." And I think that might just fit right in here, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I actually interviewed Larry King for my book, Positive Energy, and he talked about this approach to interviewing. And he just listens, and he's fascinated with people, and he's a great model that we can emulate in our lives as well.
Very good, very good. Dr. Judith Orloff is our guest today. Her book, The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. And number 10 caught my eye. This is a health program, as you know. The 10th surrender is harmonizing with illness and pain. Harmonizing? Dr. Orloff, I want to get rid of it. What do you mean harmonizing here with illness and pain?
Yeah. Well, a secret that most people don't know with illness and pain or adversity is what you resist persists. And if you clamp down around it and constrict around it, it amplifies your pain or discomfort. And so what you want to do, first of all, is breathe through you know, like a meditation technique. You want to breathe through any kind of discomfort, adversity, and pain. You want to flow during those times. You don't want to become a rigid rod where you're constricting around the pain. I mean, just if you have, let's say, chronic back pain, and you tighten your muscles around that chronic back pain, it will make it so much worse. And the same goes for any kind of pain. It seems sort of counterintuitive because your body wants to guard against pain. But in terms of releasing pain, you have a lot of power there with how you approach it with your head. You know, the Buddhists talk about two arrows. The first arrow is what life does to you, and the second arrow is how you deal with it.
Yes.
And so in terms of health and mind, body, spirit health, which is the theme of this program, you have control over your attitude about how you deal with it. You can make pain worse or you can work it down. I'm not saying it's not uncomfortable psychic pain or physical pain, but you have a lot of control about how much you have. And if you're sitting there beating yourself up, telling yourself you've spiritually failed because you're in pain or your illness, you've done everything right, and why am I ill, and getting very down on yourself about it, that's going to make it worse. As opposed to surrendering to your compassionate, merciful heart and saying you're going through a hard time. Positive self-talk is something I discuss in the book, where how do you talk to yourself sweetly as you're going through a difficult time? You know, it's really a beautiful thing to treat yourself that way. You know, how do you say, honey, you know, you're going through a terrible, terrible time now. You know, I'm with you. It's going to be okay. As opposed to, it's never going to end. I'm going to be sick forever. You know, that kind of negative thinking.
Yes. But of course, we're wanting other people to do that for us, Dr. Orliff. We're standing around waiting for someone to come up and do that very thing. How do we shift the attention from external to internal?
Well, of course, we want other people to do that, and we deserve to have other people do that. You know, I want to emphasize, you deserve to have loving people around you who are going to be saying sweet things.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's not just loving yourself. It's both. It's attracting the kind that can support you through thick and thin. And it's also what you say in your own head. So it's both. I don't want to say it's not the other people. We deserve that loving kindness. And if we can surrender to it and let it in and receive, because surrendered communication is about giving and receiving. And especially if you're going through a hard time or you're having a physical challenge, those are your angels, the one that sit at your bedside who are loving, that they're radiating love towards you. And that will help you heal. I mean, love is the healing force, but you also need to generate it in yourself. And I have a section in the book on the divinity of the body. You know, instead of having self-loathing for the body, to really see it as just a divine expression and to be able to look at it that way. And if it's going through a hard time, you want to help it through the hard time. You don't want to beat yourself up.
Well, these are wonderful words of wisdom being shared with us by Dr. Judith Orloff, and her book is The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. You can find more information about this book and about Dr. Orloff at www.drjudithorloff, that's Dr. Judith Orloff, .com. Dr. Orloff, thank you so much for being with us today. I think you've helped some people. We sure appreciate it.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Judith Orloff inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.